So this month, we're focusing on what we're calling the antidote, thinking about the challenges of this world, the challenges that come from within us as well as around us, the dis-ease, really, of the society and world we live in, that God offers us the antidote, the answers to the challenges we face. And we talked about on All Saints Sunday, the first Sunday of November, the power of God's promises, of listening to and believing in the promises of God and looking to the witness of those who've gone before us, who lived their lives trusting in God's promises and now experience the fullness of life that God promised for them. The second week, last week, Pastor Jonah preached a wonderful sermon about the power of generosity, of getting on the train, so to speak, with this generous flow of God's love into the world. It's as we get on board, as we get moving with serving, with loving, with giving of ourselves, that we actually experience this power within ourselves that's greater than us and overflows into the world. And I love the image she shared last week of the widow. It comes from Scripture, you know, of Jesus, of this widow putting two little copper coins into the temple treasury, and how for Jesus, I'd never thought about it this way before, watching this woman heard the sermon, saw the sermon that he needed to hear as he was needing the encouragement to go forward and give all that he had in loving service, obedience to God, in love for us. Isn't that a wonderful thing that we like Jesus, he needed encouragement too. And that we need encouragement to get on board with this way of life that is the way of life. I mean, it's really the way of fullness of life. And today we're going to talk about the power of thanksgiving. This is an appropriate week, of course, and hopefully maybe it'll sink in a little further because it's Thanksgiving week for us. But I want to be clear that we're not just talking about a once a year kind of a thing or just something we do once. It's the power of thanksgiving being our way of life, being that thanksgiving would characterize who we are. As I've been reflecting on the passages for today and the sermon for today, this person keeps coming back to mind that I met just 2 weeks ago. I'd seen him before at Covenant meetings, our denomination's meeting. He's another pastor, Dr. Robert Johnson. He's a chaplain out in California. He oversees the spiritual care of employees and patients in this major medical complex out there in California with a lot of different institutions within it. And he talks about, he shared a couple of devotionals in that week that I was in Chicago. And he talked about how in 1998 he came down with cancer and has been struggling with it ever since. And then in 2013, he got to the lowest point of his life. And he said he's had a few struggles in life, but he was at the lowest point. And he asked God to take his life. He said, I can't do it anymore, God. And I know I've talked to people before in our church who are going through difficult times and praying that kind of prayer. God doesn't always answer it. We don't know or control our time. For him, God did take his life, but not in the way he thought he would. And he gave it back to him beyond what he could have imagined. You know, it was down in the bottom of the pit of despair when he was completely broken, and in that sense, is gave up entirely, that Jesus met him there, that he realized there, broken at the bottom, Jesus was there. And this wellspring of gratitude began to emerge. Like, Jesus is here. Jesus is with me. Really, the words of Psalm 23 are true. The Lord is my shepherd. He is with me through the darkest valley. In fact, Dr. Johnson shared how over 23 times as a chaplain, he's had people die in his presence, where he's been in their room or with the person, and they've literally, physically died One of them, for over an hour and 45 minutes, he said the person was dead. And these people have come back, over 23 of them. And the consistent message that they've shared with him is that when they were dead, they saw Jesus. That Jesus was there. You know, talk about my friend Robert at the bottom, broken, complete. Jesus was there. Not just there, he's there on the other side of death itself. And that Jesus consistently communicated with each one of these people this message that I love you. I mean, it wasn't with words. More often than not, it wasn't with words. But somehow, in the presence of Jesus, they knew. It was communicated to them by Jesus. I love you. I'm with you. I died for you. I rose for you. You can trust me. And then finally, and it's not your time yet. And then back into this world they came. It's amazing, isn't it? In between services, somebody came up to me, and I don't remember the name of who they were talking about, but a friend of theirs said he had that same experience. And the same, he said it wasn't words, but Jesus said those things to him. I love you. I'm with you. And he said, not only that it's not your time, but I still have a purpose for you. And this person, and I'll have to find out the rest of the story, but he started a mission, a ministry, which they've given over 40 million books away. Maybe somebody will remember what that mission ministry is. But this purpose, you know, maybe as you come from those broken places in your life, knowing Jesus is with you, that he's got a purpose for you, won't be doing something where 40 million, but maybe it'll make a difference in the lives of those around you. Robert Johnson, this chaplain, he learned through that the heart of the spiritual life is trusting in Jesus and overflowing with gratitude for Jesus being there. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. You know, that he leads us through it all. We can trust him. And so Robert Johnson's devotional life, as you might imagine, has just taken off. He loves spending time in prayer and in God's word. He says, I'm listening. I'm trying to, because I know Jesus is there. He's speaking all the time through people, through experiences. So I'm listening. And he said, it's amazing how Jesus is speaking to me. I hear him all the time, every day. And he writes ferociously or voracious, whatever the word might be, all the time. So he remembers what Jesus is talking to him about. He overflows with gratitude. It makes me think this wellness that Dr. Johnson has goes beyond physical health. I mean, he still has cancer. He still may die physically any time from that. Life is still hard for him physically. But he's got a sense of wholeness, of being well, that just blows the doors off of his physical ailments. I think that's what Jesus is talking about in Luke chapter 17, the story of the 10 lepers, you know, who call out to Jesus to be cleansed of their leprosy. And Jesus says, go and show yourselves to the priest and you will be made clean. And what we're told is that they're not clean yet. They just act in obedience what Jesus calls them to do. And as they walk in obedience what Jesus calls them to do, his promises come true. They're cleansed on the way to see the priest. The priest in that day was like the seal of good housekeeping. You know, before you could go back into the community, the lepers were outcasts. They couldn't go into the community. And so they had to go show themselves to the priest and go through a little process so that he would determine that they're clean and then say, okay, it's safe. You can go back into the community. They're on their way to get the seal of good housekeeping. And on the way, they find that they're cleansed of their leprosy. And one of them turns around to go thank Jesus. And I was reading a commentator this past week who said he thinks the difference between the one who turned back and the other nine is that this one noticed. And his commentary was on how important it is for us to notice the blessings that God has for us, to pay attention. And I think that's a great point. But I don't think it's the point of this passage. I'm guessing that all 10 of them noticed. Don't you think? I'm guessing that all 10 of them were really happy and thankful that they were cleansed. But one of them turned around and actually gave thanks. That's the difference. He actually did something in giving thanks. There's an action here that he took to give thanks. And as he came before Jesus and he gave thanks to God and to Jesus, Jesus said to him, "Go, your faith has made you well." That there's something more than just being cleansed. There's a sense of wellness, of wholeness that God offers us that comes as we actually give thanks to God, as we recognize where every good gift comes from and we give thanks for that gift. You know, in fact, science is telling us that it's true that if you have a spirit of gratitude, if you practice giving thanks in your life, you will be literally physically healthier. Wow. That people who are thankful, studies show that they're healthier physically. They eat better. They're not thankful because they eat better. They're thankful and therefore they eat better. They exercise more. Their minds are clearer. They have better mental acuity, able to solve mental problems more easily. They're more productive at work. They tend to do better at work, and they get along better with other people. They have better self-esteem. They feel better about themselves. The list goes on. They're healthier. Maybe that's why the Apostle Paul in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 through 18 says, this is God's will for you to give thanks, right? Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. If you're like me, you've wondered along the way, prayed, God, what's your will for me? You know, do you want me to get married or not get married? Do you want me to live in this house or in that neighborhood? What kind of job do you want for me? What do you want? God, what's your will for me? Guess what? The Bible doesn't have many answers to those kinds of questions. They're worth wrestling with, talking to God about, talking within, praying with your community about as you discern the answers. But there are some things in the Bible that are very clear. Here's one of them. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. It's interesting, again and again, that science comes up in our last century as we learn to do these studies and the rest of that, with saying, hey, here's a really good idea. You should do that. And you look in the Bible like, oh, yeah, God said that 2,000 years ago. But now science tells us, oh, yeah, okay, we should do it. Give thanks in all circumstances. This is God's will. And now you can add to that, science also agrees. So I want to encourage us as a community to be a community of gratitude here. I mean, you talk about what will make the difference, and I think it does because I see that in us already. For Salem Covenant Church to be transformed, to be healthy, for you as an individual to be transformed, to be healthy, practice giving thanks. Nurture a spirit of gratitude in your life. And so I want to talk for just a few moments about four different things that we can do to nurture, to encourage this spirit of thanksgiving in our lives. So what are some ways to nurture it? First one would be, and I want you to wait for this. This is kind of a tough one. Give thanks. Can you say that with me? Give thanks. If you want to nurture a thankful spirit in yourself, then give thanks. I mean, just do it. Anything you practice, you're going to get better at. So if you practice negative thinking in your mind toward yourself or toward others, if you practice a judgmental spirit toward yourself or toward others, you're going to get better at it. It's just going to become easier and more natural for you. So give it up and start giving thanks. You know, this is the antidote to all kinds of negative attitudes and actions in our lives and relationships. If you practice gratitude, you're not going to be greedy. You're not going to be as greedy. Gratitude's the antidote to coveting. It's the antidote to pride. It's the antidote to an entitled spirit, like, you know, I deserve all this. It's an antidote to insecurity. This is an antidote that's worth taking, practicing. Give thanks. Give thanks to the people around you. You notice some who are doing something good for you today that made you smile. I think about some of these kids at our church. When I see them run up and they just smile at me, or it does my heart good. Or I was walking downstairs between services, or as parents were dropping off kids, and just saying, I love you to their kid. Like, oh, thank you, God, for this interaction that I get to see here, for these parents that love their children. Help them, help us to love them more wisely and more wisely, because I know it's challenging. I know I love my kids, but I'm not always as wise as I want to be about it, right? Notice the blessings and give thanks. Give thanks, not just in an abstract. This is one of the things in our world. You think about these studies. Yeah, just to have an attitude of gratitude is a good thing. But see, we want to give thanks to the giver of every good gift. So we're talking about the Holy Trinity, to the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Remember to give thanks to God. That's our grounding. So give thanks to people, but remember to give thanks to God. I'm going to take just a few more moments with this particular point. It's just so important. This week, or in fact, between now and Christmas, if you practice something for 30 days, they tell you it becomes a habit. 40 days, it just sinks in. I encourage you to pick up some kind of practice. Just try it. One would be to get a pad of paper and put it by your bedside. I know some of you do this. And before you go to bed, write down 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and then next to it, don't overthink it, because there are going to be a lot of things. But real quickly, what are 5 things you're thankful for from today? People, events, experiences, the person that let you in line in front of them, you know, whatever it might be. And then thank God for each one of those things, those people. Just practice giving thanks to God before you go to bed. It'll become a part of you. If you are a journaler or you find yourself inclined, you could start writing more because it'll sink in further. If you do write out what that experience was, it'll sink in deeper. But just the act of writing, of giving thanks to God, practice it. Yeah, some in our church have had a jar of gratitude where each day they write something that they're thankful for and put it in there. I know one of our staff members took it out at the first of the year, took out the past years and just went through them. Can you imagine how powerful that must be? Oh, yes. Oh, I forgot that on January 10th last year, lots to be grateful for. Practice giving thanks. Around the dinner table with your family or friends, what's one thing you're thankful for today? What a neat way. I know I've often struggled with, how do we talk around the dinner table, you know, when you got little kids or whatever? I don't want to talk about school. Okay, what's one thing you're thankful? What happened today you're grateful for? Practice giving thanks. The list goes on. You get the idea? Give thanks. So the second one is give thanks in all circumstances. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. So I want to practice this for a second. I'll say give thanks. I want you to say in all circumstances. I'll say in all circumstances, and you will say give thanks. Yeah, you know this story. Okay, give thanks.
In all circumstances.
In all circumstances. Really? Do you think the Apostle Paul was serious about this? This is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Did I say that a little loud? Louder. Give thanks. In all circumstances. How important this is. This is what we're talking about. It doesn't mean you're thrilled that you've got tension in a relationship with somebody. That's hard. That's difficult. But you can give thanks that Jesus is with you while you're going through this. You can give thanks that even in the midst of, like my friend Robert Johnson, you're dealing with cancer, God is with you and he's got something for you, and he may do something through you that you haven't anticipated. Open up your eyes. God's with you. Anything can happen here. You know, God's been speaking to me. I meditate on the passages as I'm preparing for the coming Sundays. And by the way, just again, encourage you to get the app. And on there, we're writing a devotional on Monday or Tuesday. It'll come out. It has the passage for the coming Sunday. And you too can be reflecting on, meditating on the scripture for the coming Sunday. One of the things God has talked to me about is not only, sometimes it's really important for us to remember to give thanks when things go well. Like, boy, Lord, thank you. I was really successful today. That's really great to remember. Oh, yeah, give thanks to God for the blessing of this day. But for me, at least one of the words that God spoke to me directly this week was to give thanks when I find myself starting to get anxious. You know, to look for those triggers in your life that you can use instead of just being a trigger that leads you down the negative pathway. Let it be a trigger to remind you to give thanks. So when I'm going into a meeting and things are getting anxious I'm getting anxious. What's that? Oh, it's time for me to give thanks. You know, Casey, it's time for me to figure out how we're going to proceed. How can we work out the troubles or whatever? But first of all, most of all, it's time for me to say, thank you, Jesus. You are here in the midst of this. And you are the good shepherd who gives us everything we need. And you, Lord God, lead us through even the darkest valleys. And you, oh God, prepare a table before us in the presence of our enemies. Give thanks. What was it?
In all circumstances.
In all circumstances.
Yes.
Third one would be to pray with thanksgiving. I want to do this also that kind of way. I'm having fun with it. Pray
with thanksgiving.
Now, it's worth separating those things out for a second here, because we know we're supposed to pray. And actually, one of the things I love here at Salem is that we do pray a lot. I'm so thankful to our prayer force, our prayer ministry team. Each month on the first Tuesday, and by the way, you're invited, they meet in the lounge and pray at noon on the first Tuesday of every month for just a half an hour. It's at 12:30 actually. And we have people that are praying on a regular basis. Every meeting that we have, we pray. When our groups get together to do ministry, we pray before we begin. Prayer is central to everything we do. I encourage us week after week to be praying in our personal, private lives. What I want to encourage you to do today is, with all of those prayers, in all of those prayers, to pray, what was it? Yeah. And with thanksgiving to
pray.
See, it's interesting to note as you look at what the Apostle Paul writes about prayer, that again and again he talks about praying with thanksgiving, with gratitude in your hearts. He talks about this again and again, Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7, where he talks about, you know, do not worry about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses human understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. God wants us to pray. He wants us to confess our sins, to be honest with God. But one of the things that happens to me sometimes when I start confessing my sins is I say, oh, God, I'm so bad. And I go down this, like, oh, and, you know, I should have, didn't. Remember with thanksgiving, and thank you that you forgive me. Thank you that you have forgiven me. I start to pray, forgive me for not believing that you've forgiven me. Thank you that you love me. Confess your sins with thanksgiving. Pray your prayers of petition and lament to God. God, this world, we got troubles and I don't know how to fix it. It's a struggle. Thank you that you are God. Thank you that you are here. Thank you, Lord, that you're the good shepherd. I can't even see you right now, but I know you're here. I declare that you're here. Thank you. Thank you. I pray, Lord God, for this situation, for this relationship, for this person. I don't even know just what they need, but I thank you that you do. I thank you that you're here. I thank you that you love them. And I can trust you with this person. I can trust you with me. Pray. Pray.
With thanksgiving.
Yeah. And then finally, that we would share the grateful news, the things that we're grateful for. Talk about it. Psalm 107, verse 2 says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Talk about it. This is one of the things that I love so much about this Wednesday night, our Thanksgiving Eve service. I'd really encourage you to come. I love it every year as we gather together and we just kind of popcorn words of thanksgiving where we say, thank you. I'm just so thankful for this or for that. I went through, you get the idea. To hear one another sharing what we're thankful for is so encouraging. I hear people say from time to time, you know, the news media should really tell us more about what's happening that's good in our world. And I say, that's just not their job. Their job is to make money. And the thing that will make them money and get them more viewers is to talk about what's wrong in the world. And you know what? Sometimes we really need to know about that. But our job is to tell the good news. The good news of God's love. The good news that Jesus died for us and rose from the dead for us. The good news that Jesus is on the throne. The good news that God, the good shepherd, is walking with us. The good news every time and everywhere we see it. Amen?
Amen.
And so, I need you. And we need each other to share this grateful news, the good news, to remind each other of God's faithfulness, to point it out, to be looking for it, to be writing it down, to be sharing it in our prayers, to be gathering in our times of worship and fellowship, and to talk about how good God is, because God is good
all the time.
Amen? Almighty God, author of life, giver of every good gift, we are so thankful. By the power of your Holy Spirit, with each other's encouragement, help us to nurture a spirit of thanksgiving among ourselves, within ourselves, and through ourselves into the world around us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.